How's everybody today? Huh? Good? Stewie? Finger okay? Getting better? Remember what I told you? We'll cure it, right? Okay. All right. I'm not going to embarrass you again. All righty. Well, does anybody know God's phone number? What's his phone number? Not going to tell me, okay? Nobody. Well, you know, I got my phone here. I think I can call somebody that might can help us out. Let me see if I can find their number in here. Oh, yes, I've got Angry Birds on my phone. Now. Okay, let's see here. All right, let's see. Maybe this person can help us. Because I need his phone number. Oh, there's a ring.
That wasn't your phone. That wasn't it. That wasn't your phone.
I wonder if he's going to answer.
He'd
answer. Hey.
Hey.
It's somebody up in the bear cage. They gave me this number. They said you'd know God's phone number. Do you know it?
It just so happens that I do know his phone number.
Okay. Can you put it up on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Here's God's phone number. All right. Thank you, you guys up in the bear cage. Let's give them a hand. That's right. Give them a hand. All right. So here's God's phone number. Can somebody read God's phone number up there? What is it? It's... All right, but what's the address there? What is it? What's the passage?
Jeremiah 33:3.
And what does it say, Phoenix? Read it again.
It says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you a great mighty things with which you do not know."
Woo. All right, there we go. Call unto me and I'll answer. I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. That's God's phone number. And God wants us to call on him. We call that prayer. And we call this God's phone number. Jeremiah, can you remember that? Jeremiah 33:3? That's what we call this passage of Scripture. God's phone number. Well, we can type it in prayer. And when we pray, God hears us. We get through. And just like I was talking to Mr. Artie on the phone, we talk to the Lord in prayer like that. And we can talk to him about anything. So let's join together. Everybody come in here and we're going to pray right now, okay? Y'all come on in a little closer. All right? Come on, Dave. Let's pray, okay? Lord, we come to you today and we make our prayer to you because we know you can hear us, Lord. And I pray for each one of these children here that they'll always know that they, when they call upon you, you will answer. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kids Zone. Did y'all know that was God's phone number? Jeremiah 33:3. Remember that. Call unto me and I'll answer. And that was in a time when the Israelites, the southern kingdom, had not been paying attention to God, had not been calling upon him. And in that chapter, he talks about there would be a renewal, that he would come, that he would come again in their lives. And he did. And we've seen him fulfill things that are in that passage. Good to have the Snyders here today. Y'all wave Snyders. All right. Who else has got? Pat and Joe, y'all got some guests with y'all today. Who you got here, Joe? All right. Now, they're the side of the family. They only have one set of teeth on their side of the family. All right. Okay. All right. We're so glad y'all are here today. If you have your Bible, you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 5. And let me bring you up to date where we've been. We've been talking about hearing God's voice. And we've been looking in the story of Samuel and how Samuel heard God's voice and how he grew up and all the things that were going on in his life and the life of the nation Israel at that time. It was the time of the judges. It was the time when they had wandered away from the Lord. It was the time that the scripture says when they weren't hearing God's voice very often. There were, the words from the Lord were few and far between, to put it in our South Georgia language. They had gotten to a point that they felt like when they went into battle again, and we looked at this last week, when they went into battle against the Philistines, to ensure after they had that stunning defeat, 4,000 of their soldiers were killed. They thought, we'll take the Ark of the Covenant and into battle with us. And so they profaned the Lord. They denigrated Him. It was just a slap in His face what they did before the Lord. And as they shouted, remember we read the story last week? They shouted, the Philistines were afraid. They got their guys together and said, we're going to have to knuckle down and battle against these Israelites because their God is leading them into battle. They felt that way. And what happened? We had another stunning defeat. 30,000 soldiers were killed on the battlefield. Now we see a total of 34,000 have given their lives now because people are not listening to God. Because people are doing stupid things. Now the story goes on. The Philistines then capture the ark. And that's where the story picks up. And we're going to read chapter 5 together. And you're going to see some interesting things in this chapter. Now the Philistines took the ark of God and they brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Now, let's stop here for a minute. Let me tell you about Ashdod. Ashdod, the ancient city, was not really far from where the present-day city is. But the Philistines occupied at that time 5 city-states. It was their form of government. They had Ashdod, they had Ekron, they had Gath, they had Ashkelon, and they had Gaza. Any of these names familiar to you? You know, another story for another day, but looking at all these names and see what was happening back then and then see what's happening today in those places. So they take it to Ashdod. This must have been each one of these city-states kind of operated with its own government, had its own king, but then they cooperated together as the Philistines, as a group, when they were going to battle. So Ashdod must have been king of the hill at that time, so they get the Ark of God. Look what happens. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and they brought it to the house of Dagon, and they set it by Dagon. Who are we talking about? Do you remember Dagon? You remember the house of Dagon? Do you remember Samson? Where did they take Samson when they put out his eyes and put him and treated him like a donkey, a jackass, to grind there? Yeah, where did they take him? Remember? to the house of Dagon. And that's when, you know, he pushes down the pillars and many, many Philistines are killed that day. Now, who is Dagon? Now, Dagon, we can trace Dagon back to, 1,000 years before this time. In some places he's called a fish god. In others he's called a god of the harvest, a corn god. All of these things related to fertility. A god in some instances he kind of morphs and becomes a god of the storm. Because you see, a storm was a good thing because it brought water for the crops. Can you see the relationship here? Now, before you say, well, why would they just make up the name of this guy? And I used to think this. I used to think of false gods were just that. That there was nothing, no basis in fact, that the people just sat around and made something up. No, sir. If you research in all of these false gods, behind them is a demonic entity. You remember? We've read this before in Daniel, when Daniel's praying and the angel finally gets there and says, We heard your cry 21 days ago when you began your prayer. Remember that passage? He said, But I was delayed because I had to deal with the prince of Persia. Who was he talking about? He was talking about this territorial demonic force. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, hang in here with me. This is good stuff. This will help you understand some things that are going on in the world. When it says in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. And he gives these categories. He's talking about that this unseen kingdom of darkness. The evil one is not omnipresent. God is. That means omnipresent means God can be. He's everywhere at once. But Satan is not that way. So how does Satan get around? Well, he moves pretty fast. But he's not omnipresent. So what does he have? He has a kingdom of these demons. Another teaching for another day, but I want you to see here that do demons exercise power? Yes, sir, they do. We see scripturally that happens. So when you look back in history and you see that they are worshiping this god Dagon, he is actually that physical manifestation that they, this idol as we call it there, is actually representative of something spiritually negative that is going on, an evil force that is there. That behind him, there really is demonic power that's going on. And they've seen it. That's what hooks them. That's what hooks them in. And you see that throughout history. So there they are at the house of Dagon. Now let me give you a picture of what this representation of Dagon looked like. You know, historically, as much as we can doing research on it, it had the body of a fish. And the head and the arms of a man. Now let's read on. So they took verse 2. Then the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it to the house of Dagon, and they set it by Dagon. Now why would they bring the ark into their temple? Because for them, they had just defeated the Israelites' God. Remember what they thought? We went into battle, and we have defeated their God. Think about it. Think about the rush Think about the adrenaline. I mean, you talk about some demonically crazed people. What do you reckon that the Dagon worship service was like that night? Just imagine what it must have been like. If we have up on Carmel where they're worshiping Baal, which by the way, Dagon was related to Baal. Up there, if they're cutting themselves and doing all that kind of stuff and flailing around, what do you think was happening there at the house of Dagon that night? So, next morning, verse 3, when the Ashdodites arose early the next morning, behold. What does behold mean? Behold means, in South Georgia Lane, means look here. That's what it's saying. Look here. Dagon has fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. Now here's, imagine now, here's the fish god here, the god of the harvest, or whatever you want to call it, Dagon. And now he is this physical representation. Remember last week I told you we get clues in the natural, things that are going on in the supernatural? Well, here's a clue. Here's a picture. He's on his face. He has fallen on his face before the ark. Man, they're hustling around. Man, we got to change this. That's bad for business. I mean, offerings might dry up at the temple of Dagon if something like that goes around, if people find out about it. So then they set him up in his place again. Note, this is men doing this. So go to bed the next night. This sounds like a joke, doesn't it? And the next night. But when they arose early the next morning, look here. Behold, Dagon had fallen on his face on the ground before the ark of the Lord. Oh, but something else has happened now. The head of Dagon and both of the palms of his hands were cut off and they were on the threshold. Only the trunk, the Hebrew word there literally means the stump. The stump. What do you think of when you think of stump? Vroom, vroom, vroom. What's left? The stump. The stump is left. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor all who enter Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. So, he's talking about something that happened long ago that tradition has fallen. Oh, we're not gonna. That's where his head fell right there. We're not gonna step there. Now, what I want you to see here. Do the Philistines get it yet? Answer, no. Who should have been showing them the truth about Yahweh, about the one true God? The Israelites. But what were the Israelites doing? Were they listening to God? Were they showing the Philistines how to hear the voice of God? Let's go, let's back up. Look at their two priests, Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli. Remember these scoundrels, what they were doing? All the evil they were doing. They were out there messing with the sacrifices that were given unto the Lord. They were stealing it for themselves. Having sex with the women just outside there on the threshold of coming in to the holy place. And then They go and they use the Ark of God like a good luck charm. So what is the message that the Philistines are getting from the Israelites? That their God is just like all the other gods. That He can be manipulated by man. Let me say to you today how important it is for us to hear the voice of God and be obedient. Because you see, in Eastern thought, in Hebrew thought, hearing was commensurate with, was the same as doing. You didn't separate the two. If you're hearing, you're doing. What message are we giving to the people around us about hearing the voice of God? What is the message of our lives? What is it preaching? What are we showing people? See, they were supposed to be, they were very religious people. Look at what they had been doing. They had done religious things. But it was all about themselves and not about hearing God's voice. Are you following me so far? So, what's significant about Dagon's head falling off? Zip! He's been decapitated. What's the significance of that? He's dead as a hammer. He has no power. The head, his, the things that they believed in, as part of his being, is cut off. His hands, his ability to act in their regard has been cut off. So his total identity, this is a picture. This is a picture. As they go into the temple of Dagon, here they see Dagon is utterly cut off. That he too must bow. What does the scripture say? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus, that Yeshua is Lord, that He is Messiah. He is the Mashiach. He is the one and only. And what's left? The stump. The fish. Verse 6. Now the hand of the Lord was heavy upon the Ashdodites. Oh, it doesn't stop here. And He ravaged them and He smote them with... Let me give you the Hebrew for that. Emerods. These the word means it's like a little mountain. God gave them hemorrhoids. It's what it says. It went like a plague through them. They can't sit down. Imagine this. All of this is that. I know it's graphic. But hey, God's word is graphic at times. It says both Ashdod and its territories. Now, remember what the Philistines had said earlier in the previous chapter? They had associated with Hebrews. They remembered the plagues in Egypt. Remember that? Remember that? So what do you think they're thinking now? We go in there two mornings. Our God is bowing before the Ark of the Lord, of this God of the Hebrews. And now we've been struck with this plague of hemorrhoids. Verse 7. And when the men of Ashdod saw it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us. For His hand is severe on us and on Dagon, our God. They're starting to get it. we've done wrong. Now, at this point, who gets it more, the Israelites or the Philistines? The Philistines are understanding the score a lot better than the Israelites at this point. Now listen, in our nation today, that's a legitimate question to ask. Who gets it? Who really sees the lay of the land? The people who are supposed to? Who are supposed to be the watchman on the wall? Who are supposed to be the people that are listening to the voice of God? Who are supposed to be the people that are walking with the Lord, hearing His voice? So, verse 8, they went, they sent, and they gathered all the lords of the Philistines. That means they got the other four city-state leaders together. And they said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? Because they've decided at this point, we got to get rid of this thing. We can't take this anymore. And they said, let the ark of the God of Israel be brought around to Gath. So here's their thought. Now, they'd gotten it partly and said, well, maybe we can take it to one of our other cities. Does Gath strike a familiar note to anybody? What's the city of Gath? Anybody? You know? Huh? Goliath and his brothers. Later on, we'll see that Goliath is going to come out, you know, and when David chooses those stones, he's choosing one for Goliath and the others for Goliath's brothers. So we're going to take it over to the place where they got giants over there. We're taking their place. And note that the scripture says they went around. They did not take a straight line approach to the city. One guy I read, he said, and I agree with his interpretation of this. He said this. He said they took a circuitous route, thinking, well, whatever it is that has to do with that ark, maybe we can kind of shake it off, and it go away before we take it into the next city. Read on. So let us bring it around to Gath. And they brought the ark of the God of Israel around. After they brought it around, the hand of the Lord was against that city with a great confusion. Man, confusion. Imagine this. Confusion. The thickness of the presence of God. Imagine it. The ark of God. The thickness of His presence is there, and it just puts them into confusion. His presence. And the Lord smote the men of the city, both young and old, so the tumors broke out on them also. So we got Ashdod. They're starting to get over hemorrhoids. And Gath got a case of them. Everybody. So they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. Let's try a third city. Now, what do you reckon the guys in Ekron are thinking at this time? Now they didn't, they weren't tweeting or anything or emailing or texting or, but word has traveled. As the ark of God came into Ekron, the Ekronites cried out saying, they've brought the ark of God of Israel around us to kill us and our people. They sent, therefore, and gathered all the lords of the Philistines, and they said, send away the ark of Israel and let it return to its own place so that it will not kill us or our people. For there was a deadly confusion through the city. What's a deadly confusion? What does that look like? Here's what I think it looked like. the thickness of the presence of God was such that it caused them to question everything that they considered traditional wisdom. What's up is down. What's over is out. What's in is out. Everything. It's all in confusion. They don't know what to do because the power of God has come to that place. Let me ask you just a moment. Wouldn't you like to see a confusion like that set in on Savannah, Georgia? A thickness of the presence of God? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Where His presence would be shown? Hey, let me ask you this. What if at Ashdod or at Gath or at Ekron or the other two Philistines said, what if at any point in time they would have fallen down on their faces and said, Yahweh is Lord? What do you think God would have done? What do you think would have happened to the case of those hemorrhoids they had? What do you think would have happened? Gone. There would have been deliverance. There would have been power. There would have been revival. But I want you to see in the heart of man, I hear people say this all the time. Well, if people just saw the power of God, they would turn to Him because they know it's the power of God and they would turn to Him. What do? They find another way because they don't forsake their God. It'll make you cry. It'll make you cry. Send away the ark of the Lord of Israel. Let it return to its own place so that it will not kill us and our people. For there was a deadly confusion throughout the city, and the hand of God was very heavy there. And the men who did not die were smitten with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Why wouldn't they hear God's voice? Plenty of opportunity. Now, we'll stop there today. I want to ask you the question, though. Before you jump on the Philistines with both feet and then get around to the Israelites, what about you? Where are you in this story? Where's God speaking to you and showing you things plainly? Where's He acting out the story where you can see it right now? Let me tell you, one of the places He's acting out His story is all in the earth. Just turn on the news. It can be any news channel. You don't have to agree with them. You know, that their spin, in some of those things, it's hard to spin. But look at what's happening in the earth. Is God not trying to get our attention? Look at what's happening in our country right now. Is God not trying to get our attention, to call us back to Him so we will hear His voice? I want you to see in the story today, some would describe the Lord as capricious, that He's prejudiced, that He's... But I want you to see Him over and over and over again trying to get people's attention and to turn their hearts to Him. But are they willing to see? We'll pick up with it next week and we'll see when they take the ark back and give it back to the Israelites and what happens there. Are you hearing God's voice? Well, let me tell you, He's got it on a loudspeaker in the earth right now. And he's saying, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's calling out to us. Do you know what? Right now, he's preparing his church for the days to come. He's preparing us, getting us ready for all the things that are going to come. And let me tell you, yes, there are a lot of things that are awful things that are happening. But we live in the greatest time in the history of mankind for the sharing of the gospel. To see God move. Are you hearing His voice? Are you too busy with your agenda to look up and see what is around you? When I was a teenager, on Sunday mornings, it was my job to, Mom, as she cooked breakfast, she calls for breakfast on Sunday mornings. My job was to go wake my brother up. My brother's 7 years younger than me. And he always wanted to sleep late on Sunday mornings. So I'm back there, and I'm playing tricks on him, and I'm trying to get his attention. And so this particular Sunday morning, I've done that. He won't wake up, and so I start doing this dance in front of him. And this goes on for about 5 minutes, and I'm singing this song to him and that I've made up, and it goes on. And finally, I see that he kind of perks up. He wakes up, and he starts laughing. And I think he's laughing at me, at this show that I'm putting on. Well, he is to a certain degree, but he's not looking at me. He's looking at my daddy that's standing right behind me, and Dad got the whole show right there. Vic still reminds me of that. We're doing our thing, really, for an audience of one. What does he see? Are you hearing his voice? What's he saying to you? All right, that's all I got to say to you today. Hope you have a great Labor Day. God bless you. Go in grace.